So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
They did not kill anyone. I want you to catch that. They did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Anybody ever done that? That you've wept as long and you've wept so long that you've got no more power to weep? I'm telling you, somebody, that you're going into the new year with that thing, let it go. Let it go. Look at somebody and tell them, let it go. I'm going to walk into the new season of my life. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters, but David, hallelujah, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Verse 18 says this: David recovered everything that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Number 19, I love this one, and nothing was missing. Nothing of theirs were lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoils, or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Look at somebody and say, recover all. I want to preach to you on the subject this morning about tomorrow. About tomorrow. About tomorrow. Tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's a new season. Tomorrow's a new year, and we're going to go into it with some things that we understand that we cannot go back and change the past. We can't fret over what happened yesterday, that we've got to move into a new season because God's got some new things in store for you. Come on, somebody. And listen, in the military, they had and still probably do, maybe still have a different mindset than the normal society. And what I mean by this is this. When you had done something that you should not do in military, you were corrected, and it didn't matter if it offended you or not. Let me ask you, how many vets do we have? I know we got one just fresh out of, Christian, we got fresh out. Come on, give him a hand. Fresh out of boot camp. Just graduated here in the last few weeks. But lift your hand. Anybody in the military? All right, thank you for your service. But if you were in the military, they didn't ask you if it offended you what they did to you. Right? If you messed up, they didn't have you go stand in a corner and have a timeout. No. But what would happen, a lot of times they will tell you, and I'm assuming they still use this terminology, lock it up. And when they still use it? And when they say lock it up, that means to come to attention. Look eyes straight forward. And what usually happens when you lock it up, they are about to give you a tail chewing. And you don't watch them as they walk around you, chewing you out and calling you all kinds of names. No, you just lock it up. But then after you get this tail chewing at an attention, they would use a term and they would declare front leaning rest position. How many knows what I'm talking about? Front leaning rest position. And let me tell you, that term is deceiving. Because the term front rest leaning position is not a resting position. It is in the push-up position. And then they begin to declare down, up, down, up. And you had to press a push-up down and up, at the staff sergeant or whoever was over you at their meeting. And they didn't tell you how many you were going to get. They just kept saying it. Many times, somebody else would chew you out while you're in your front rest or leaning rest position. And you were doing the push-ups. But then there was another term that they would use that you would love to hear, and they would say, recover. And when they said recover, that means you get back on your feet. What you just got chewed out over is over. You have done what was asked of you. You were punished. You went through the discipline, whatever the case may be. And now what was done is over. And so you go back to your normal routine. I've come by to tell some folks this morning that the Lord is declaring recover to some of your lives. I come by to tell somebody that God is saying recover. You've been in a season of discipline. You've been in a season where you were going through some things, but the Holy Spirit is declaring to you, recover. Your time of being chewed out is over. Your time of being down, your time of being in pain, your time of being pushed is over. And now this 2018 is a time to recover. Can you say amen? Now I want to talk to you and take you the scripture in Samuel today, where David had a bad day and he was down. And when I say he's down, brother, he was lower than a gopher's transmission. He was low. And everyone that he cared about had been stolen. And our text tells us that picks up right before David became king. 3 days before David became king. And in this particular passage, they had just returned from a brief military campaign where they joined alliance with what typically was their enemy, but they joined forces because they had a common enemy. And after the battle, David and his men went back, or before the battle was even over, the king sent him back, and they went back, and when they got back to Ziklag, they walked up on it. They were tired, but when they rolled up on Ziklag, it was a smoldering ruins of fire, and the Amalekites had come in and taken everything that they had value. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you feel like the devil has taken everything that you valued. The enemy has taken everything that you valued. Well, that's where David was. His village was burned. His treasure was stolen. His wives and their sons, their captives were led away captive. And all the while, get this, all the while, they were doing good. David had come up on the worst day of his life, all while they were fighting the good fight. Point number one is this. Don't think that just because you were getting your life together, that the enemy will not take the opportunity to rob from you while you're fighting the good fight. My God, somebody hear me. Don't think that just because you decided to get your life right that the devil's going to step back and go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to give you a timeout. No, while you're fighting the good fight, while you're trying to get your life together, the devil's looking for any way, how, or form to reach in and steal and rob from you. Listen, he had just lost everything. It couldn't possibly get any worse. But, oh, wait, there's more. Not only does it get a little worse, his friends, the men that he had led in the battle, the friends that used to sing his praises, are now looking to stone him. They're looking to stone him. The Bible says that they all wept until they had no more strength to weep. Can I tell you that when you get to that point, you start looking for somebody to blame for your trouble. My God, somebody hear me. They begin to look around, and the only person they seen that they could blame was David. And they begin to look to stone him. And when nobody was encouraging David, the Bible said that David went and encouraged himself and inquired of the Lord. My God, somebody hear me. They wanted a new leader. They wanted a change in the upper echelon. And they were weeping, including David, but they got to the point that they wept until there was no more weeping to do. Have you ever done that? You ever cried long enough? Now some of us men, we'll say, oh, no, not us. Whatever. You ever cried till you couldn't cry no more? Every person on the planet, sociologists tell us that everybody needs a good catharsis. I just like using that word, catharsis. That just means you break out and cry for a little while. Amen. Now, it ain't time to cry when you're in the foxhole. Come on, somebody. Or when you're at the gym. But I want us to give special attention to the timing of the attacks. It was 3 days before David would be put on his crown. Did you hear it? Right before he put on a crown, the devil fought him. Almost at this moment, although this moment, David didn't know what we now know. He didn't know that in 3 days he's going to be through this trial. In 3 days he's going to be over this trial. In 3 days he's going to recover from this trial. In 3 days, about tomorrow, I'm not even going to look back on what happened to me then. I'm going to be wearing a crown and I'll be in a new position. My God, you thought that 2017 might have been your worst year. I declare there's coming a year that you're going to look back and forget that what even you went through was nothing because of where you're at. Hey, listen, he lost everything he held dear, but in 72 hours he's going to be king and everything's going to be restored. Then there is a verse, and many of them, and where I got the title, it says about this time tomorrow. Woo! Man, what a prophecy. About this time tomorrow. Woo! About tomorrow. Tomorrow is not yesterday, and tomorrow is not today. Tomorrow is the promise of something that is coming. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm believing for something that is coming. This tells me that everything that I go through and that you go through, hear me now, has nothing to do with what you're going through. It's got everything to do with what you're coming to. Ah, it's not about what you're going through. It's about what you're coming to. I want you to think back on some of the promises that you're walking in right now. What if you would have stopped when you felt like stopping? What if you would have threw in the towel when you felt like throwing in the towel? What if you would have just gave up when you didn't feel like you had any strength no more? But now you look back and the things that used to bother you and that you used to stress over, now you dance over because you know what God is bringing you to. Hey. My God, somebody hear me. The devil is not afraid. He's not intimidated about where you are. He's trying to stop you from getting to where God's calling you to. Let me say it like this. When God closes one door, he opens another door. However, we don't like talking about the hell we go through out in the hallway. Oh, y'all can't hear me. You know, we close one door, but we're waiting for the other door to open. And we out in the hallway, and we're getting beat up in the hallway, and we're getting intimidated in the hallway, and everything and everybody's coming at us in the hallway. What do? You stand. You square your shoulders back and say, if God be for me, then nobody gonna stop me. I'm gonna wait till this next door open, and I'm not gonna give up or give in. I'm gonna wait and see the salvation of the Lord. See, we don't like to preach about the hell you face in the hallway. Huh? You're standing between a closed door and a door that's not open yet. And it feels like all of hell, and the debris is swirling around you, and the conflicts are coming against you. And you're saying, God, where are you? You're saying, what can I do on a day like this? Well, David shows us what to do. In our text, he shows us the steps that we ought to take. You see, in verses 18 and 19, we learn that David recovered everything the enemy had taken. The Lord spoke to David and told him, recover. And how do you recover when you've gone through something like that? Well, I think we can learn from it. Let's look at it real quick. Point number two is this. The first thing the Bible said that David did was wept. You know, I believe that weeping is a lost art. Because we've been told to stay, to be strong. Now listen to me. Listen to me, men. We get in trouble a lot of times because if the society tells us, be a man. And then they get mad because we don't know how to show feelings. Kind of an oxymoron, huh? You're not sensitive enough. All right? And then, you know, how many people have I counseled and go, well, I tell you, you know, a woman, pastor, I tell you, I like the strong, silent type. And then about 3 years into the marriage, he won't talk to me. Well, you the one said you wanted a strong, silent type. Now listen close to me. I know that there is a time to suck it up, buttercup. I know that there's a time that you just need to square your shoulders back and just stand. Because God doesn't visit pity parties. Only the devil visits pity parties. But I learned that weeping is not always inconsistent with faith. My God, somebody hear me. Just because you weeping doesn't mean that you don't have faith. Just because you crying doesn't mean that you don't have faith. See, sometimes you don't understand. Sometimes I'm crying, but I'm crying on my way to getting better. Sometimes I'm crying because I'm getting mad enough to fight somebody here in a moment. My God, somebody hear me. On the days like David is going through in our text, what he goes through at times, it's okay to sit and have a good cry. Again, let me help some of you. That time to have that good cry is not in the middle of Walmart. It's not in the middle of your workout session. I'm going to leave it alone. Lord, help me. Remember that God put in our DNA this thing called emotion. And with emotion, sometimes comes weeping. Jesus wept at the grave of his dead friend. Abraham wept when Sarah died. Peter wept when he denied Christ. Weeping is part of our DNA. Oh, but I feel something rising up, that it might be part of our DNA, but weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. I feel about tomorrow's are coming on. So weeping may only be for a season, because why? Joy comes in the morning. You can cry, but there's got to come a time when you quit crying. Bible says there's coming a time when he'll dry every tear. The Bible says those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Sometimes, though, weeping helps the healing process. There's a friend of mine, I've told this story before, but there's a friend of mine that was at one of his parishioners' knee surgery. He'd just come out of knee surgery. And the therapist came and said, we got to get you walking. And we got to walk you today. He hadn't been out of knee surgery, but for a little while, and said, you got to walk. And here's what they said. If we don't get those tendons and ligaments moving today, infection can set in, and you could lose your leg, or worse, lose your life. See, that's what the devil don't want you to get over, what you've been through. The devil don't want you to say goodbye to what you've been in, because if you sit in that deplorable conditions, gangrene's going to set in, infection's going to set in, and you're going to lose that which you cherish, or worse, you're going to lose your life and say, God didn't do it. The devil is a liar. I've come by to tell you that moving begins. The moving is, it begins the healing process. You got, well, pastor, I don't know if I can walk. Just take a little step. If you got to crawl, crawl. Just take a little bit of step, and you begin to move if you ever want to get healed. The devil is betting on you staying where you're at. Here's what the therapist told him. And he referred, he told me this story, that's why I can tell it. He said, the man said, it hurts. It hurts. And the therapist says, sometimes it just hurts to heal. My God. Sometimes it hurts to heal. You can't go back. You can't put the ligament back. You can't put the kneecap back. You're just going to hurt to heal. But if you'll go through the hurt, you'll get to the healing. But you got to start somewhere. I've come to tell you that somebody, it hurts to hear or to heal, but you've got to heal. But you will heal. You will heal. Come on, tell somebody, I will heal. Come on, make it personal. Look at them, tell them, I will heal. I might be down and I might be crying. You might see me right now, but about this time tomorrow, I feel a healing. I feel a healing coming on. My God, help me, Jesus. And God will raise you up, and it's all right to weep for a season. Sitting crying is part of the process. But you can't stay there. And neither did David. After he weeps, what did he do? He weeps, and then the Bible says he waits. He waits. The Bible said he called for the priest ephod. It was a garment that, in the Old Testament, it was a way of getting direction from God. Because with the priest ephod, you got a breastplate with all kinds of stones on them. And some people even say the stones would light up to show you the way. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just reading what some other folks read. I wasn't back then. If you want to know exactly what happened, then you're going to find somebody that's that old. And Brother Cash is out right now. He had hundreds of men breathing down his neck, recycling their anger and vengeance towards him and saying, take us back into battle right now. Because you know what? When you're hurt, what you want to do is lash out and hurt somebody else. But that's not the way that you need to respond. Hear me, church. He separated himself. Listen, David understood what was needed was not a panicked reaction, but what was needed was a prayerful response. See, the problem so many of us is we just panic react instead of prayerful response. What does God want to do? Anybody ever you was going to do something, but bless God, you couldn't find them. And after it, you was like, thank God I couldn't find them. I can think of two or three instances on myself right now. Bless God, I better not find, where are they at? By God, I'm going to tell them right now. I've searched everywhere and I couldn't find them. By God, they better be glad I didn't find them. No, I better be glad I didn't find them. I better be glad. That's where first degree murder comes into. Come on, somebody. He separated himself from all the noise and got along with God and said, God, I got some questions for you. Let me tell you this. God is never offended by your questions. Lord, shall I pursue the enemy? This was the first question. The second question was, Lord, are you going to go with me? Do I pursue? And if I do pursue, are you going to go with me? And God answered immediately and said, David, pursue. And I need to tell somebody this morning that you need to get up, brush off your tears, brush off the dust, pursue, and just like God told David, I am with you and you will be with me. He will not forsake you. He has not forsaken you. Rather, he has not forgotten you. He knows where you are. Get up, pursue what the devil has taken from you, and praise God through it. So he wept. He waited. And then the third thing, he said, he worshiped. He worshiped. On the worst day of your life, don't lose your worship. On the worst day of your life, don't lose your praise. See, when Job, the first thing that the devil took Job, he didn't take his kids first. He took his ability to worship first. He took his calves. He took all of his livestock so he couldn't go out and worship and couldn't praise. Come on, somebody. Listen, we don't have to worship with animals anymore because the fruit of our lips is our worship. I can lift up my hands right where I am and worship God. I don't have to wait for the church to start. I don't have to wait for the priest to come. I can praise right where I am. This is a Sunday morning, and it's a good day to get your praise back. Not because your situation has changed, but because your God has not changed. Regardless of how you feel, worship. David worshiped. David encouraged himself. You know why? Because encouragement is a side effect of worship. Man, they did that new song this morning. Did y'all like that first song? My God. I'm glad I didn't have to get up and sing that song. Because I can promise you, at my age, I can't dance and worship to that song or to sing that song at the same time. I got to choose one. I'm either going to worship to it or sing it, but I can't worship and sing it to it at the same time. Or let me rephrase that. I can't dance to it and sing it at the same time. That's a mouthful of words. Come on, but I love that song. I love it. You are defeated one, my light and my salvation. When the wicked, my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Omnipotent, almighty, defender, my victory, my refuge, the one I run to. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough. You're the God, my God. You're the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through and I really don't know what to do, I look to you. Breakthrough. Walls fall down when I shout through. Strongholds break when I pray through. So I'm going to praise. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough. Woo! My God, somebody. Understand something. Hallelujah. Worship nobody. But man, I loved it when they were praising. When they were worshiping. But listen, I looked around. Some of y'all was worshiping. And some of y'all wasn't. Now, no judgment. But I want to talk to you about it. No one can praise for you. I can pray for you. I can believe for you, but not, you know, you still got to believe. But I can't praise for you. Oh, hear me, somebody. Man, the worship team, they were on. They were on singing. And no one can praise you. David strengthened himself on the worst day of his life by worshiping God. When I get in a moment like this, I go back to quoting out of the book of Psalms. Or I go back to quoting some scripture. Or go back to singing some old hymns. My wife bought me an old song, an old CD. And Friday I came in, it was late, everybody was done with their work. And I got on the loudspeaker, I said, "Everybody that is in the church, report to the sanctuary." And everybody, all the staff came into the sanctuary looking around like, what's going on? I said, I just would be remiss if as your pastor, if I didn't make y'all listen to a couple of these songs. And then I hit the CD. And the songs were, some of y'all ain't going to know who this is, but it was Sister Brown. Oh, my God. I got the CD in my office. But anyway, and they started singing songs that you know, real hyper-faith people, they don't like these kind of songs. But when you got a day like David did, you need this song. This song said, well, I'm climbing up on the rough side of the mountain. And I'm doing my best to make it through. See, some of y'all don't know nothing about that. Huh? Sometimes you can't just bust up in a place. Sometimes you just got to walk up the rough side. Sometimes you got to, Lord, I'm just doing my best. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to get there. Oh, come on, somebody. See, sometimes I got to sing stuff like, oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then sometimes I'll sing, glory, hallelujah. Now, come on now. This is what we've come to do. Tear down strongholds. Let me move on. Sometimes. Sing stuff like that you know where you're at. See, sometimes I got to sing, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody. I just got to sing to myself sometimes. Listen, you have to learn how to worship for yourself, because the worship team won't be here on Tuesday. Well, this week they will be here on Tuesday night, but they might not be here on Tuesday. They might not be ready to go on Monday. When you're going through your trouble, you need to be able to worship God where you at and not call on worship team to come worship for you. Woo. Listen, you have got to learn to plant your feet on the word of God and tell the devil about tomorrow. I'm coming out of this. Listen, you can praise or you can pout. You can sing or you can sigh. You can worship or you can worry. You can magnify or you can moan. You can bellyache with cynicism or you can break through with singing. You can wave the white flag of I surrender or you can hoist the banner of victory. It is your choice. When David was bringing back the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible said David danced before the Lord. And listen, I know we're Pentecostal. I know that it ain't popular anymore in some Pentecostal circles, but I still believe that there's deliverance in the dance. Some of y'all need to dance your way through. You remember Steinfeld? They would dance it out. Remember those? Remember they was bad dancers, but they would dance it out. My God, or was it Friends? I don't know which one it was. But I'm telling you, some of you need to get in your prayer closet. But I don't want to do it in the church. That's fine. Then get in your prayer closet. Close up your house, whatever. Put on some worship music and dance it out. Just go ahead and worship the Lord. Ain't nobody watching you. Just get your deliverance dance going. I've come to tell you. On the worst day of your life, don't lose your shout. You weep, you wait, you worship. And the last thing, good Lord, it's already time. And the last thing, go to war. Go to war. See, the problem with some of y'all go to war first. You didn't get the right perspective. You went to war, but God didn't go with you. And you wondering why the devil whipping you. Honey, you ain't going to lose if God goes with you. You can ignore it. You can play like it's not there. But it will all be there tomorrow. Unless you do some of these things. At some point in time in your life, you got to understand that the Bible is also a book of war. Ephesians tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Learn that Jehoshaphat's, the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. Not everybody's going to get this. Know that God went before you and arrived at the battle before you ever got there. And God will win it for you. However, you got to show up. You ever showed up to fight somebody else's battle and they're not there? How about folks ask you to come over and help them move and they ain't even there? Hey, can y'all come over and help me? You show up and they ain't even there. No, what they really meant is they want you to come do it while they sit up on the couch eating bonbons. Come on, somebody. Oh, my God. Listen, if you don't run around this building four times, something wrong with you with this next one. Here's what the Lord said. You might have to face it, but you don't have to fight it. See, some of us don't even want to face it. No, you got to face it, but you ain't got to physically fight it. You're going to have to fight it in the spirit. You're going to have to sink your way through it. You're going to have to worship your way through it. You've got to face it, but you don't have to fight it. Are you listening to me? I'm here to tell you somebody might be going through the worst season of your life. You got to face it, but you ain't got to fight it. You got to learn how to weep, how to wait, how to worship, and how to go to war. The next thing he did was weep. The next thing he did was wait. The next thing he did was worship God. And the last thing he did was go to war. And when he did, he recovered all. He recovered all. Come on, stand to your feet. He recovered all. About tomorrow, I feel victory. I feel victory coming up in this place. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, worship team, help me. Come on. We're going to do that breakthrough song again. Hallelujah. Spirit life team, come real quickly. Now, I know it's 9:44, and I still got two baptisms I'm finna do. So I'm going to start this thing with the altar service. Don't leave. We're going to start it with the altar service. Those that are going to be baptized, if you want to go ahead and start getting changed, as soon as I say amen, I'm going to run and go get changed. But we're going to have the opportunity for folks to come and get prayer. If that's what you want, if that's what you need. My God. Come on.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.